convinced that he could ever be otherwise. The theological doctrine of original sin is a profound truth. The modern Enlightenment prefers to believe that man is naturally good and that he acts right so long as he continues true to nature.
For Hegel, man's spirit elevates him above nature, but at the same time it introduces the possibility of evil. Hegel follows the biblical story of the fall of man and finds the root of evil in the human will. Evil, says Hegel, is not confined to particular actions. Evil is also found in pride, self-assertiveness, and self-deception. Spirit is divided against itself. Its destiny is to be freedom, but freedom brings with it the possibility of evil. Hegel contrasts natural development with the development of spirit.
The development of the natural organism proceeds in an immediate, direct, and unhindered manner. Nothing can interfere between the germ and its realization, between the inherent nature of the germ and its adaptation to the environment. It is different with spirit. The move from its potentiality to becoming actual is made through consciousness and will. Consciousness and will are themselves first immersed in the immediate organic life, where their purpose is simply to sustain this natural existence. But the will, animated by spirit, becomes infinitely demanding, full of possibilities and powerful. Thus, spirit is at war with itself. It must overcome itself as its own enemy and formidable obstacle. Development, which in nature is a quiet unfolding, is in spirit a hard, infinite struggle against itself. What spirit wants is to realize itself and to know itself as spirit. But it hides these desires from itself and is proud and full of enjoyment in this alienation from itself.
Hegel sees world history as the story of spirit's struggle with itself. The struggle is writ large, as it were, and projected on a cosmic scale. To achieve freedom, spirit seeks to overcome its own imperfections, and this quest itself drives spirit forward. History works to achieve the purpose of reason, and this process has two sides for Hegel. On the one side, there's the rationality that's already been achieved. On the other, there is the work that remains to be done.
The genuine truth is the prodigious transfer of the inner into the outer, the building of reason into the real world. This has been the task of the world during the whole course of its history. It is by working at this task that civilized man has actually given reason an embodiment in law and government, and achieved consciousness of the fact.
In the Greco-Roman world, many people believed in fate as the controlling force in human life. But Hegel believes that the biblical idea of God's providence, the working out of the divine purpose in history, was a major factor in overcoming the idea of fate. Hegel appropriates and reinterprets the doctrine of providence. He identifies it with the idea that history is the odyssey of freedom. Since historical development is shot through with reason, Hegel says history is thus not a creature of blind power and fate.
The only thought that philosophy brings to the treatment of history is the simple concept of reason. That reason is the law of the world, and that therefore in world history, things have come about rationally. Reason rules the world in another form, well known to us, religious truth. The world is not abandoned to chance and external accident, but controlled by providence.
World history is not merely the verdict of might or power. It's not the abstract and non-rational inevitability of blind destiny. On the contrary, world history is the necessary development of reason. histories, the development of self-consciousness and freedom of mind. Hegel accepts the religious idea of providence, but he also points out an important difference between this idea and his own view of reason in history.
The truth that a providence, a divine providence, presides over the events of the world corresponds to our principle. For divine providence is wisdom, endowed with infinite power which realizes its own aim. On the other hand, a difference, indeed an opposition, appears between this faith and our principle. For this faith is indefinite. It is what is called faith in providence in general. It is not followed up in definite application to the whole, the comprehensive course of world history. To explain history means to reveal the passions of men, their genius, their active powers. We cannot therefore be satisfied with the merely abstract, undetermined faith that there is a providence without determining its definite acts.
Hegel insists on the need to work everything out in detail to describe the definite acts of providence. Yet